This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Powered by Chevron. I'm Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick over there. Had a plan for the show, but just saw this. Per Mike Kliss at 9 News, the Broncos, in a joint statement with the City of Denver and State of Colorado, announced on Tuesday, the historic rail yard in the heart of Denver is the preferred site for team owners Greg and Carrie Penner. Susan and Cheryl apparently like that, to build a new retractable roofed natural grass playing field stadium in time for the 2031 NFL season.
I take umbrage with this.
A retractable roof?
Absolutely.
Not a fan.
Not a fan. Football should be played outdoors.
Well, it will. It's retractable. Mike, it's retractable. So you can leave it open.
They won't.
They might.
And
then you can do other things there. It's not all about the Broncos. Then you can have a band. Who's the violinist you like? You could go see her at Empower Field or whatever the hell they're going to name it.
She's not that popular.
Okay. Name a band that's popular that you like.
Metallica.
Okay, you could go see Metallica like in the winter months instead of just everybody's going during the spring and summer months, mainly summer.
Yeah, but you know they're going to, oh, it's 30 degrees outside.
They might put it up to a vote every weekend. That would be kind of cool. Like, what if it's supposed to be like negative something? It's going to be miserable.
Power through it.
And the fans are like, hey, we'll put it up to a vote. And the fans would vote.
Give me your tickets.
And they would vote. And if the vote says, yeah, close it up. I don't know why. I do get the romance about it, you know, like how powerful it is when you and 70,000+ fans are all just freezing your butts off and you're sitting in snow. I mean, I went to those games. I did that for a long time. I don't know that I want to do that now. I mean, when I was in my teens and 20s, it was different, but I don't know that I want, because when I watch, I mean, I try to watch sports without having too many cold ones, Mike, so I can know what the hell I'm seeing and talk about on the show every day. So I'm not, you know, back in those days in the 20s somethings, when, you know, you might have maybe a few too many, and then you're kind of numb to the coldness and stuff. That's not me anymore. The cold weather starts to hit in, and I'm reminded of every injury I've ever had. I don't know. I don't have that much energy on it, Mike. Aaron says the Metallica show they just did at My Ohio is pretty awesome. See? You could go see Metallica in December.
Or Metallica could see me.
Yes.
Because I'm that famous.
Texter from the 970, Super Bowls aren't played outside. There you go.
Well, that would give us a hometown advantage.
You could host the Super Bowl there.
Yeah,
how
we'll
big
be
would
going
that be?
A lot.
How big would that be? I'm just talking about hosting the Super Bowl, not necessarily playing in the Super Bowl. I'm fine. I listen, man, we're Northern Colorado. I got more energy on the Eagles moving to Greeley. Because in Denver, now you're all pissed off at you were pissed off at the notion that they would move outside of Denver, but it'd be weird because they're the Denver Broncos, but they're in Aurora or something or wherever they were going to go.
I still like I'm actually more pissed off about a stadium with a retractable roof.
I'm not at all. I get it. I understand it. But odds are they're going to leave it open because most fans will say leave it open. And Denver, you have your home field advantage that way. If you're used to playing in colder weather, although the Broncos probably destroy Baltimore with Peyton Manning. Wasn't it pretty cold in that Baltimore Broncos game? Wasn't that one of the cold games, or was it a different one I'm thinking of? Still, that game, just so depressing to think about. It's hard to remember like what was. But there were certainly games that impacted Peyton Manning because it was too cold.
Yeah, he did not like the cold so much, especially after that back injury.
Oh, I can't imagine. Aaron says, if you thought traffic was bad in Denver, just wait till the Super Bowl week. Yeah, I would not be. Well, we might go down. You know, I've always had hooligans like, Brady, why don't you go do Radio Row? I mean, it'd be cool. If I talked Broncos 90% of the time, and NFL 90% of the time, it would make sense. But if it was in Denver, Mike, would you join me? We go down to Radio Row. You get your old media credentials out. You dust those bad boys off, and you act like a real person, a real worker, a real journalist almost.
Well, if you want us to do Radio Row, I'll just make a call now.
Go make a call.
Yeah, I'll make a call. Yeah, and who we can get call? Like the tickets.
Yeah,
we'll get tickets to the Super Bowl, and we'll get you and I will both get. We'll get passes to everything.
You know, you're saying that. That'd be so funny if you seem like the kind of guy, like outward appearance, you don't seem like you could get something like that done. But for the sake of the comedy here, it would be hilarious if you actually did have all these strings you could pull.
What can I say?
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yeah, we're still hungover after the catch or not a catch, whatever. We're going to talk to the man who caught that football.
Emphasis on caught.
Caught that football at the bottom of the hour. Carver Cheeks is going to join me. I love his story. He's going to be on at the bottom of the hour today. We will have Mike Brohard on, too. I don't know if I'm going to go, because I already had Justin Michael on. We talked about it. I want Carver's perspective. I want his perspective on his story and their performance. But with Mike, you know, maybe we turn the page and we set it up for, okay, bye week, pressure's on, got to start showing something. So we'll talk to Mike a little bit about that because I you've already heard it now. You're not changing your mind. You either think it was a catch and it shouldn't have been overturned, or you don't think it was a catch, but they didn't have enough evidence to overturn it. There's nobody else out there right now that thinks, A, it wasn't a catch, and B, it should have been overturned. Like, there's nobody on that side. You either think it was a catch or you didn't, but I think everybody agrees that it should not have been overturned. But it was a catch. And I mean, I roam around the radio frequencies, Mike, just to hear what competition's doing and things like that. I gather information. I read, I listen, I watch.
And Freddie, do you have competition?
No, I don't think so. Nerd shows, maybe, up there. It's on a hiatus for now. But I do listen around. And the fact, they don't know any players or coaches on the staff, but the fact that Denver, in the middle of their fourth string running back conversations, are talking about UNC. I mean, they make fun of the smell and do all that stuff, which is stupid. You don't like money, I guess. I don't like that.
But I like money.
The fact that UNC is getting talked about by someone other than us, and I think, what, the Tribune, is phenomenal. So they gained that. Now you got to go do it again. You got to go up against a really tough South Dakota team. Let's read some texts. Texter says, who cares about 1 week of traffic? It's the Super Bowl. Yeah. That would be awesome. Do you think that it would like bleed into Northern Colorado at all? Like people would stay here and go down? Yeah, that would. So it would be good for this whole like four, because we're only, what, 40 minutes out on a good day of traffic. But it would kind of bleed over into the Northern Colorado area, right?
The problem is it's a lot of non-Broncos fans, and those people are annoying.
Who cares? Who cares? Big Hub, after the bye, CSU gets a dub? Question mark. Ooh. Dude, I need more time. with my thoughts because I'm really down on CSU today. I'm just down on them. I mean, I was higher on them after Washington. Now I'm down on them. And that's, again, it's not a knock on UNC. It's just the resources, all that stuff. You should be a 20-plus, maybe 30-plus, which they were, favorite. 423 texting in. Was Northern Colorado that good or was CSU that bad? I'm going to say both. I know that sounds like a cop-out, right? But
it's not a cop-out CSU because was, I think a lot of people agree.
CSU was bad. They say whatever about Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. That was the worst game I've ever seen him play, by far. Because normally, in his games, he has head-scratcher moments, but then he does something miraculous. He did have the touchdown run. But again, nobody's worried about him when he takes off. He's fast. He picks up a lot of first downs and big yards when he runs. It's the passing we're still worried about. So that was the worst game from him. I can't imagine he's going to be worse than that. Plus, Tommy Maher, I like Tommy Maher. Didn't he have two fumbles? Because he muffed a punt and then he fumbled it when the Rams were in Bears territory. That doesn't seem like that's going to happen. I'll be curious to see if he loses the return job because he's kind of one of their top wide receivers. But I'll be curious to see how that one goes. Yeah, we're still on this, man. Yeah, 931 texting in. A Big 12 officiating crew got penalized. Wonder if that will pressure the Mountain West. Yeah, the Bears reached out per the Greeley Tribune. Monday morning, the Big Sky inquired about overturned touchdown at CSU, but they have got zero response.
No surprise.
The Mount West Conference late Monday afternoon said all plays are reviewed during a game. Though an apparent touchdown by UNC receiver Carver Cheeks with 8 seconds to play received a lot of attention, Mount West officials won't issue a statement on the play unless they see a need. Dude, if this was Georgia and Alabama, Mike, we'd be in an uproar nationally. Like, you better give us they would have to tell us what happened.
Yeah, about a day later, maybe even an hour later, the commissioner of the referees would come out and say, well, okay, here's what we have to say.
So here's this other story, and I was going to get to this in top stories, but three texters beat me to this. A Big 12 officiating crew has been reprimanded following a rules violation in Missouri's 42-31 win against Kansas on Saturday. The play occurred in the first quarter after Missouri's first touchdown when the Tigers were flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Kansas blocked the extra point attempt, and the ensuing kickoff was illegal. The Big 12 officials allowed a punt to occur on a free kick in violation of Rule 2, Section 16, Article 6 of NCAA football rules. That Big 12 officiating crew has been removed from its next scheduled assignment. So, texter here says, do you think the Mountain West reviewed the officials' call similar to what was recently done by the Big 12? Go on. Elaborate, Mike. You're just shaking your head.
I think the Big 12 is a bigger conference, yeah. A more important conference.
Uh-huh.
And the Mountain West is just kind of like, well, we're not as big. The game wasn't as big, so we don't have to comment.
Yeah, this is...
That's my opinion.
Yeah, they're not going to comment. The Mountain West is not going to. They're going to move right along.
And are these refs?
They're Mountain West refs, right?
I believe so.
Are they staying Mountain West refs? Because people keep saying, "Oh, they needed them to win." Does the Mountain West want CSU to win? No, I don't think so. So I don't know about the whole fix thing. I don't know.
I don't think it was fixed.
Because again, dude, do you think that the Mountain West actually wants Colorado State, Boise State to, like, Gloria Navarro, does she want the Rams to win? They would have loved the Rams to lose to UNC, man. They're leaving. They don't care. So I do push back a little bit on the fixes in because CSU is not, they're basically not a Mountain West school anymore. They got one more season, but whatever.
But that delegitimizes the teams that are going to stay in the Mountain West. So you still kind of want you want them to be punished leaving, so you're not too upset that they lose, but you still want them to win.
Yeah.
Because that delegitimizes the teams that you have. I would immediately, with something this big, I would come out and say,
yeah, but
I would say something, say
because,
anything.
Because it's an FCS school, do they care? I don't know. I don't think they're going to. If they haven't yet, they're not going to. All right, a lot of texts coming in. Oh, look at this. 423. Hello from Tennessee. You can listen from anywhere. You can listen from all over the world, Mike, with the 1310kfk.com. Just go to Listen Live or go download TuneIn. It's free, that portion, to listen to us from anywhere. So
and all
you
of
can
this
do that.
Is thanks to my credentials to Broncos training
yes, you got
from
all,
2005.
You got all that done. Hello from Tennessee. Anyway, out of curiosity, did CSU ever consider going to the Big 12 or newly forming Pac-12? Would joining either upon either open up recruiting pool? They are going to the newly forming Pac-12 for sure. They probably considered all of it. Yeah, they probably considered the Big 12, but I don't think the Big 12 considered them. So, but yeah, the Pac-12 is on the way. Man, you guys are rocking today. I haven't seen a single Mountain West Network outlet even show the highlight of the catch, let alone mention any controversy about it. Yeah, they're just gonna move along. Texter here says it's not wasn't fixed, but definitely a poorly reffed game. Yeah, that's more in line there. 21 minutes after the hour. We got to take a break. Carver Cheeks coming up at the bottom of the hour today. Wide receiver that caught that football. Love his story, too. And we'll get his thoughts. Just how proud of his team was he, you know? And then the taunting call, too. We got to talk to him about that. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310. KFKA.
Ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Ram fans, this is Ali Faropnesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Okay, I didn't watch that game. Mike, I don't know what happened. So, Missouri scores a touchdown. They get unsportsmanlike conduct. So, I'm guessing they get penalized. They go to kick the extra point. Kansas blocks the extra point. And then Missouri punts it on the next kickoff?
The only way I can think of that is if it's a one-point safety of Kansas.
But
they block
there's
it,
nothing,
possess it in the end zone.
Nothing that I'm reading says that. So any listeners that watch that, let me know, because I'm very confused. Why
I'm
would
trying
they,
to do some research
Why would they
here.
Think they could punt it? Nobody punts it. It's a kickoff.
That's the only time I know of a punt
a safety.
Is the normal punt, or if there is a safety.
Right.
That's why I'm thinking
it's
one-point safety.
Or, yeah, I've seen a couple of weird. So help me out, guys. I need help on this. Eastside Chris, what would be said if CSU were to get shafted against UNC? I'll bet it would have been handled differently. Oh, 100%. Yeah, the Mountain West would be coming out. It'd be their own crew. But Aaron says, I haven't heard much nationally about the CSU-UNC game. And feel the Mountain West will not feel pressure to have an answer about it. Correct. You're not seeing anything nationally about this. If this would have been even, give me, like, if this would have been Washington and Washington State, this would be monster news. Because it's CSU and UNC. That's just where we are in our world. 29 minutes after the hour. Carver Cheek's going to join me next. He's the wide receiver for the Bears that caught that football. I've talked to him before. He's a great young man. I actually sat down with him inside the podcast studio during Football 52. He was in there, and then like 2 or 3 weeks later, he entered the transfer portal. And now he's back, and I think he's made everything okay. Carver Cheeks coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. It's Tuesday. We're still having issues, aren't we, with stuff from Saturday. Joining me now, wide receiver for the UNC Bears, had an excellent game. 5 receptions, 54 yards, should have been 6 receptions. Carver Cheeks joining me on the First Advantage Hotline. Carver, my man, thanks so much for jumping on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, man. I just got to ask you the obvious ones, right? Did you catch it?
Yes, sir.
You did. You caught it. 100% you caught that. Did you talk to any of, like, the CSU players after the game? Did you hear it from any of the, like, opponent that they were like, yeah, dude, you caught that?
No, I have not. It's just a lot of things I just seen on social media, but that's probably about it.
Were you, like, shocked? If you're looking on social media, what I saw was, like, 98% of Rams fans were like, yeah, he caught it, and if he didn't catch it, it wasn't conclusive enough to turn it over.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild, man?
Yeah, that's wild.
All right, so, I mean, like, what's going through? So, and then, come on, you shush the crowd. They give you a penalty for that? It's turning into the no fun league like the NFL, man.
Yeah, I really didn't get what they did by throwing me the flag on that. But at the end of the day, it's football, and I'm just focused on the next week. So,
yeah, how hard is that to move on past this one? Because, I mean, for you guys, for the Bears, this could have been, maybe it would have been, the biggest win in UNC Bears history. I mean, this is a Rams team that won 8 games last year. They were a bowl team. They were one game away from getting into the Mount West Championship. You got 36,000-plus fans there. It's their Ag Day, packed student section, and you guys took this thing to the limit, man. I mean, how hard is that to move past it?
Yeah, it's very hard to move past. I mean, the team went out there. We just played hard, played to the best of our ability. We were up for like 59 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
We played just like how just all of our teammates were just bought in and really everybody believed what we can do, and we just showed the world what we can do.
Yeah, this team, obviously, we know what went down last year with the one win. You guys were 36-point-plus, I don't know how much, underdogs in this game. And like you said, you led pretty much all the way through this, man. What's different about this group this year, man, compared to last year?
I would say mainly just everybody's bought in. Everybody trusts each other. There's not, like, any, like, gray area between anybody. Like, everybody's bought in. Offense is rooting for defense. Defense is rooting for offense. I just feel like the energy was just there that night. And just in general, there's a lot of energy coming from all the players and just coaches as well.
What was going through your head when you – I mean, maybe not when you're bringing that ball down, because that is – I mean, that was a hell of a catch, Carver. That was an amazing catch, dude. I think it was pass interference, too.
Yeah, a lot was going through my head when I caught that. I just caught it, got up, shushed the crowd. I caught a cramp in both of my hamstrings and fell backwards, so that wasn't fun.
Oh, man. But feeling okay now?
Yes, sir.
So they call it a touchdown. You're thinking this is over, and then suddenly, you know, all scoring plays reviewed, whatever. Now they're reviewing it. They come out and announce incomplete. Walk me through that, man. How emotional was that?
Yeah, it was really emotional once I caught the ball and just really thought that we just made history and stuff like that. And then when I went to the sideline and just found out it was incomplete, I was just lost for words. I just didn't know how that whole thing went down.
I'll catch up with Ed Lamb tomorrow on the Football 52 podcast. But what did Coach say to you guys in that locker room? That had to be a difficult post game.
If I'm being honest, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
There was a lot of emotions right after the game.
Yeah. I totally get that. I mean, that was, dude, this game was one of the craziest games and finishes I've seen in a long time. This isn't just us in Northern Colorado talking about the Bears. The entire state. I had my Buffs guy on yesterday, the play-by-play voice for the Buffs. He interrupted me and said, no, 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 I want to talk about what happened with UNC. They deserve to win that game. How about that, man? All over the state, and you being a local guy, that's got to be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, it means a lot just seeing that. But at the end of the day, I'm just focused on just 1-0 just next week. Now we're on South Dakota. That's something that happened just Saturday. I dwelt on it Sunday. But now it's just a new week. I'm just ready to go out to South Dakota.
Yeah, this is why you're a Division I football player, man. Not only are you a great athlete, but mentally you're in the right spot too. Is there? And I know we're preparing for South Dakota because that is going to be a tough battle too. But what does this do for you guys? Obviously, it shows on the scoreboard 21-17. But there has to be a brand new confidence that I have never. I've, you know, my time covering the Bears, I don't know if I've ever seen it going up like that, putting up that performance. I know moral victories or whatever, and I know you guys don't necessarily want to hear that, but what does a game like that do for you mentally going forward?
I would just say not only for me, just for the whole team, it put a chip on everybody's shoulder because, like, it was a close game. And just overall, just it came down to the last play, and we just played hard, and I just feel like going into next week, everybody's going to have a chip on the shoulder, and we're just going to get that 1-0 dub.
We're talking to Carver Cheeks, the man who caught that touchdown catch pass to win the game against CSU. Carver, I won't get into all the details, but I really like your story over the offseason stuff, and then you staying with this Bears team. What is your relationship like with Coach Ed Lamb?
I can't really put it into words. Just Lamb really just believed in me from the jump, just out of high school, and just me and Lamb have this connection that, like, I really don't have with any other coaching staff here, just mainly at UNC. Me and him, we just click together. He helps me, I help him, and I just know that Coach Lamb is in my corner, and if I need something, he'll be there.
I got to tell you, man, it was a pleasure to catch up with you on one of the Football 52 podcasts. It is I'm glad you're a Bear. Let me just say that. I'm glad you're a Bear. You had a heck of a football game, my friend, and that was awesome to see so many Bears fans so excited. I think you guys gained a ton of new fans, too, over the weekend.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that kind of the thing? Like, that's what you want. When your time is done with the Bears, if you can look back and say, we went in, because I came up to college here, I'm much older than you, in 2005, and there hasn't been this kind of excitement. I've never experienced this kind of excitement. I was at that game around a Bears team. How cool would that be when it's all said and done? You take this, then you go have an awesome season, and you look back and say, we revived a Division I FCS football program.
Yeah, I'd say it's cool hearing that, but, like, just me at the end of the day, I just wish we came out with just the dub on top.
Yeah.
I wish we came down as a catch. So at the end of the day, that's just what gets me is, like, I wish we could have got them, but next week it's on to South Dakota, so that's what we're really focused on.
South Dakota, that's going to be a tough team. They're 0-2, but tough opponents. And I know you guys know a lot about Lamar, too. That's who they lost to last week. But talk to us a little bit about South Dakota. I mean, that's a really good football team historically, too.
Yeah, they're a really good football team. This is like their first year head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, they started off 0-2, so they're going to be hungry trying to get a win. But we are as well, so it's just whoever comes and plays the best.
Talking to Carver Cheeks, wide receiver for the UNC Bears. All right, man, Eric Gibson Jr. I didn't know a lot about this guy. I was at a couple practices. There was a practice I was at once, Carver, and I was talking to Coach Lamb, and Eric's just kind of waiting by because he wanted to talk to Coach. But what I noticed from him, my takeaway, he's like cheering everybody on. He's pumped up. He's getting people excited. Even Castelli, who was ahead of him at the time. I mean, what ultimately a good performance by him. I mean, he was careful with the football. He was smart and then made big plays late. Talk to me about your new starting quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, well, sadly, Peter went down, but he's going to recover and come back soon healthy. But Eric, I'm just glad how he just stepped up. He didn't flinch. Coming in, starting just big game against CSU, he just proved to everybody that he's able to be here and he's able to play on just really this stage or any other stage. He's just really level-headed, and he just brings the people around him up just with him just being around.
Yeah, it just seems like you guys, like, listening to you talk and watching Eric, and it just seems like it's a good group of dudes around there. You guys just seem to really have each other's back.
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right, man. Carver, we'll let you go. I know you're a busy man. Excellent game by you. And I'm going to say it, man. Congratulations on that game, because I know it wasn't a win, but in the grand scheme of things, as far as people paying attention to this Bears team, you guys achieved something. And there's a lot of people talking about UNC on a Tuesday, and you guys did that. So well done, man. And we just wish you the best of luck. I think it's going to be a phenomenal season. Go win the Big Sky, my friend.
Thank you, and we will.
All right, man. Carver Cheeks, let's get you on again soon, my friend. I love having conversations with you, so let's try to do it again.
All right, yes, sir.
All right, man. There he is, Carver Cheeks. I mean, he handled that really well. He was confident, but he was not going over the top. And he said, you know, I asked, was it a catch? Yeah. But he didn't go into a lot of details. He said he basically, like, doesn't even know what Coach Lamb said in that post game. Because the emotions were, dude, you almost had the greatest win in UNC's history. What are these guys like, 19, 18, 20-year-old dudes? They almost did something in front of 36,000-plus fans. Most of them, 99% of them, are Rams fans, decked out in orange. And then to have it ripped away from you, that is, that CSU's going to get moments. They had, you know, they beat Boise State on the Holy Hulker. They've had crazy things happen. This was that moment for UNC, and they might never get there. They could beat South Dakota. They could win the Big Sky, but there's just something special in their home, beating an FBS team that was pretty good last year. You might not get that. Who knows if you'll get that opportunity again.
And they're a cross I-25 rival. And I have to say about these 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, I would have done the exact opposite. I would have given everybody in the stadium the number one after that play, because that really upset me. That was a catch.
He shushed the crowd. I mean, we can't
shush the crowd. Come on, everyone does that.
We can't shush the crowd.
Everyone does that,
dude. That's what it's all about.
Everyone does that.
I've seen. Why would they call that? I've seen, because are they getting more strict? Because I've seen basketball players going back and forth with guys on the sideline, fans on the sidelines. I've seen it. Like, why are we calling that shushing the crowd? He didn't even do it to any player in particular. He did it up to the crowd.
They didn't even call the pass interference, and that was pass interference. And
it
that was.
Was
a great catch. And I'm just angry.
Well, it's just when you think of how close you were, you know, like the Bears. Let's say the Bears like go win it all. Let's say they get in the playoffs and they win an FCS championship. Where would a win over CSU rank compared to that?
To me, it would be nothing.
A win over CSU compared to that would be nothing?
Like, it would be like, oh, yeah, we beat this team
right
back there, but
you're
we
probably
won
right.
our championship.
Yeah, you're right. But still, because I don't know if the Bears are going to go win a championship. They might. CSU took Washington to the mid-third quarter, at least. And I'm not knocking Washington. I'm just saying it is what it is.
Go ahead and knock Washington.
It is what it is. And UNC almost beat that team. So there's Washington, that's a mid-tier Power 4 team. There's CSU, not, I wouldn't say mid-tier, G5 or whatever they are. I would say in the middle of the mid to upper. I don't know, however you want to classify that. And then UNC is considered the bottom of the basement, the bottom of the barrel. In
was.
The FCS. Was. That game could have changed everything. It's really
infuriating.
My wife is a CSU alum. And I've told her, my kiddo is 7 years old. He's autistic. Ed Lamb has a child. His son is autistic. I think he's 14. Ed and I connect on a different level outside of just football. We share different stories. So obviously I share some of the stories with my wife. So she's become like a big fan of Ed. She doesn't care about football and the scores and stuff, but she was rooting for UNC to win that game. Yeah, I know. I probably just outed my CSU alum wife, but that doesn't matter. She was rooting for this guy because if you meet Ed Lamb, you know he's a special human being. And we say that a lot on the station, but we don't say that just about anybody. I mean, I have a lot of respect for so many coaches and players that I talk to. Some I've developed a pretty good friendship with. But Ed just, there's something different. Something different about that guy. Texter's coming in. I know the emotions were running crazy at the end of that game. This is from Faith. I asked my son the same thing about the post-game speech from Coach Lamb, and he said he didn't fully remember just because emotions were running so high for everybody. Ugh. It's tough. 4-2-3, no call on pass interference, ruled not a catch, and penalized for taunting. Three issues that stand out way more than simply a blown call by the refs. Yeah, should it?
That's why the Mountain West is the Mountain West, and the Big Ten is the Big Ten.
Elaborate, because the officiating crew sucks, or what?
It's not like that's one thing. That's one of many things. Like the Big 12 is just better. It's not just the teams. There's just an aura of professionalism that, I'm sorry, Mountain West, you don't have.
That was awful. You don't call taunting there. You don't call taunting. I mean, at the time they thought the game was over, so maybe they didn't think the taunting was the worst thing in the world. Technically, the play didn't happen, right? He didn't catch it. So taunting should have been called. They should have taken the taunting call off.
I would have declined it. I would have been like, there was no taunting because we suck at our jobs.
Yeah. Carver handled that well. Excellent, excellent human. And the reason I didn't want to, like, put him on the spot, but he did, you know, he entered the portal. And he was looking around. And had a change of heart. Dude, the guy's a good player. I don't think it was that he wasn't getting any looks. I think he had a change of heart. He and Ed Lamb have a great relationship. And then he said, I don't want to do that. I want to stay here. And Ed said, well, you know, my rule, like, you enter the portal, that's it. Unless you want to be a walk-on and basically start at the bottom of the roster and work your way up. I bet it didn't take long to work his way up because you need he's talented. You want him on your team. So anybody that had an issue with that, 49 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We got Mike Brohard joining us coming up, and we'll start turning the page. CSU's on a bye week, but now that UTSA game is just absolutely huge, monumental for Jay Norvell and Braden Fowler Nicolosi. We're just getting started here. If you go anywhere, you'll regret it. We'll be right back.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that we were doing that. That means it's time for the Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question of
the
day.
We want people to be in a good mood.
Okay, so we had a winner yesterday, so they're in the mix for the $20 gift certificate. Now's your chance. Can we get that same winner from yesterday? I'm challenging you. See if you can get it right. Then he would give himself a better chance to win it. There's no rules on this, Mike.
Can I?
No, you can't win. Absolutely not.
Then there's a rule on this.
Dude, sports cards, memorabilia, Legos. Okay. John Elway, as a player, here's what I want to know today. This will register you for a $20 gift certificate to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. John Elway is a player. Give me his record in Super Bowls. I want his record as a player in Super Bowls. 970-353-1310.
I believe it's titled All My Love.
What is?
That was a record joke. Like, I recorded a record.
John Elway's Super Bowl record over his career. Wow. Why? What are you?
I'm sorry. I was looking for stuff during the break, and it was just really frustrating me.
970-353-1310. I want John Elway's Super Bowl record as a player. That's what I'm asking for
today.
Win-loss
record.
His record, yeah.
Not the one that he recorded.
Yeah, just his win-loss record as a player in the Super Bowl. It's not that complicated.
If he recorded a record, would
you
buy
answer.
It?
You have the answer. No. It'd be like, good for you, bud. That kind of stuff. Let's ride. 970-353-1310. I want John Elway's win-loss record in Super Bowls today. 11:56 the time. I got to talk about the train horn. I haven't even touched that. The train horn. When it first happened, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I like this. And then it just kept going over and over and over. And then sometimes they would forget and do it on fourth down. I'm like, yeah. It was so freaking loud. But John Weber seems like he's on it. And I like that about him a lot. He responds to the fans. Not a lot of ADs do that. All right, coming up, we got the top stories of the day. And we got Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. The Rams now, like, all their attention, like, you got to win. You got to beat UTSA. You have to now. We'll continue. Top stories coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.